Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 218, part 1, Pray and See. Today is Friday, October 28th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, you come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. Now, you're going to want to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify the household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. When you get to Pastor Paul's, you're going to see a lot of people, a lot of food. There's food outside that is on the curb. You can help yourself to that. There's bread, usually cases of perishable vegetables. When you get inside, you're going to see Pastor Paul, who's selling food very inexpensively for $1, $2 for a case of vegetables, a case of juice, like that. You're going to see a counter where you're going to register for groceries. So come on over to the counter and just let us know that you are new, and we will get you a form to get you started. You're also going to see all of the food that we give away, lots of perishable foods, lots of frozen foods, free breads, juices. So be prepared to carry a lot of food. Register for Pastor Paul's Club and be sure to ask about the VIP Club. This month is the month of October. Here is the lineup for Pastor Paul's podcast. Don't faint. Works. You got to have faith. Pray and see. Those are the messages for the month of October. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. You're going to want to go to the show notes, which is at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of the scripture links that Pastor Paul uses within his messages. Have a great month of October. Minnesota right now is absolutely beautiful. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, Pray and See. I think like never before, we are in a time where we should all be praying and watching. We should be in a state of watchfulness, discerning the time. Nehemiah 4 and 9, it says, Nevertheless, we have made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them that day and night because of them. Now, we're talking here about Nehemiah and the Jews with him, and they were building and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem out of these old, broken, smoked up, crumbled bricks. And they had enemies because they were doing a work for the Lord. They had Sanballat and others were angry with them. They tried to stop their work. And hey, when you get into a work for the Lord, the enemy is going to come against you to stop that work. Of course, then you got to be sure the work you're doing is of God. That's the idea of praying first and then watching. But anyway, they were so angry, they were going to rush, like the people rushed Stephen when he was praying and so on. And they rushed him and they gnashed upon him. But they had contemplated and they thought, well, let's rush them and kill them and kill them all and stop this work. Now listen to what Nehemiah and his co-workers did. Nevertheless, in spite of all that, he's saying, doesn't have anything to do with our ministry of building this wall. So what? I read into this. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them, day and night, because of them. But not only did they have the job of rebuilding this wall out of all this old, burnt, crumbled brick, this wall of Jerusalem, but to watch and pray against their enemies at the same time. And I thought, really, isn't it quite a fright that you have to pray and watch against your enemy while you're doing a work for God? And sometimes the enemy is within the camp. And I thought, that should not be. I said Friday night, we have some 12 tons more of ground round coming in, and I had to make a decision on the telephone. The guy says, well, you know, it isn't entirely free. You got to pay the cartage, you got to pay the cost. It would cost about 0.6 cents for each pound. I thought, boy, that's sure cheap. Not talking about hamburger, ground up gristle, bone and guts and eyeballs and eyelashes. I'm talking about ground round. Now, you know how much that is a pound. So he says, now I want you to understand that there will be a bill on this. And then, and I thought, yeah, there'll be a bill. And I also got to pay for the freezer charge and all of this. Okay, and now we have, you know, turkey out here in a freezer, some 10 tons of that. And now we have to make a decision. I thought, isn't that terrible? You have to make a decision on something like that. Why doesn't the body of Christ come together and say, wow, that's a real good deal? That is a really good deal. I mean, working for the kingdom of God, I mean, what a better deal could you get? And, you know, all together, it'd be 1 cent a pound. To cartage it, to bring it over, to keep it, to bring it down here, and the whole thing. And I thought, not only must we do this, but we have to pray and watch, because evidently there's a few enemies out there that won't pay that little bit of money to bring that much meat in. So I made a decision to go ahead and get it. And he says, are you sure? I said, well, I mean, how can I turn down this offer? Yeah, he says, I agree with you. And it sort of reminded me of this message of these people building the wall for their own people. And it says even the bankers was charging that exorbitant rent rates and lease rates upon the land. And Nehemiah had to say, hey, not only are you not going to charge that, you're going to get in here and guard and watch and do the thing. He couldn't even counsel with anybody. It says in the Bible he had to go off and counsel with himself. And so they had to watch and they had to pray against their enemies at the same time. They had to watch and pray and build and have a sword and mix mortar over here. And I mean, they were busy. And I think that our cause right now is the same. And I say that because not too long ago I sent a letter out to 1,950 churches to just come down and talk about the needs of the poor. Not one church showed up. Now, I'm just talking about it. And I thought, well, I'll enhance them with a feast. So we had a teriyaki chicken dinner, complete. Had all his tons of chicken and everything ready to go. And so we had to go out and invite the lame and the halt and the crippled and the underprivileged and everybody else to come and eat this food. See, they wouldn't come to the feast. But it showed me something, that we have enemies out there and we need to pray and watch. Are you saying your enemies are church people? Well, they haven't showed themselves to be too friendly. I wouldn't say they're exactly enemies or exactly friends, but I'm going to be very watchful. Now, I hope that you're hearing me on the radio. And I'm saying this to challenge you. I'm saying this that maybe somewhere in your hearts, calloused over by sitting. Maybe you think, well, we're going to save our money to build a larger church, or maybe you're going to put a prayer tower way up to heaven. Maybe your languages will be changed so that you won't be reaching for the moon. Well, there are people down here. Why not come and pray down here? Why not get involved? I realize that I'm gathering together a stone-throwing group, but that's all right. At least they'll be busy doing something. But see, we are called to work for Christ. And I hope that all of us who love Him are putting our whole heart into the building of His kingdom. His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so on. Give us this day our daily bread, not bread for next. We're not asking for bread for 4 months down the line. Daily bread for the people around about the world. And so we also need to watch and pray against also deadly foes. See, because if they can discourage us, if they then can make us fear and destroy us, they will also destroy our work. And they'll do both of them if they can. Well, I say catch me if you can, because I'm on the move. Now, how many know right now the devil can come in and he can destroy and he can use even Christians, born-again people, to work against one another, to get into, the Bible says, arguing and fighting and rivalry and contention. And the Bible talks about this, says these things are devilish. It's talking to the church. And all of us can fall into that. But I know right now the powers of evil are so mad against the people of God. And if they can in any way annoy us, have you someone tried to annoy you lately? Can conversations annoy you? Maybe Maybe you were listening on the radio, had a little one that went astray, one of your sons or daughters or something like that. And you know very well that the neighborhood knows about it. Now, I'm talking about, in earthly terms, a mother and father down here, relation to the Father in heaven. And you know very well that they know very well what's going on. And they say, well, how's Billy doing? Does that annoy you? Well, how are you doing lately? Does that annoy you? Hey, don't let those things annoy you. Because they will divide your attention, and God wants your full and undivided attention upon kingdom work. Or if they can in any way slander you, count on it, they will. It's a human nature. I think humans, a lot of times people are busy casting out demons out of people. You know what I mean? They get so busy doing that, and they blame everything on a demon. And if you'd ask the demons some of the things they do, where'd you get all this? They'd say from human beings. We have fallen natures too, you know. But they will leave, the Bible tells us, they will leave no stone unturned. If it can serve their purpose, well, their purpose means that there's a selfish purpose involved. If it doesn't build up and clear up and cheer up, I'm talking about prophesying the body of Christ, then it's not prophecy. Talking about there are many prophets of doom out there. So then the devil and his ugly helpers will shoot every arrow in the quiver of hell and throw every fiery dart at the people of God that are just trying to survive. Over and over and over and over again. Are you hearing this? And what is he aiming at? He is aiming at your full, whole heart. Because when your heart is full and whole, and it's steadfast on one plan and one purpose, not divided in the heart at all, that's the one he's going to go after. That's the one that he is afraid of. Those that are dedicated past worrying about reputation. And after all, if you're really dead to that, well then, how can a dead man have a reputation? You won't read about him in the paper too much. He's dead. But anyway, like Nehemiah here, when he started to build a work for God, when Sanballat heard about it, it says they took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now I know the Bible tells us the very same thing are going to happen to God's people in this end age. All those that are doing, I should say, a kingdom work. Are you hearing this? Now, I'm not talking about we're off to seek the kingdom, the wonderful kingdom of the Wizard of Oz. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ. People are going to get mad at you and they're going to mock you. And you'll see a lot of mockery against a Christian on TV. Now, preacher, don't worry about raising your voice or getting filled with the Spirit because some nut gets on TV and he starts to get a little exuberant and it shows how crooked he is. All that shows me is that all people are sinners saved by grace. Now, that's bottom line, isn't it? I was reminded this morning of Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build the house, except that he build it. Now we have to know that before we even start a work. They labor in vain. Now that's a key word, vain. That build it. And the second portion of that, Psalm 127, verse 1 goes like, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. So God must be in it before you even start the work. Well, how do you know that God is in it? He provides. It says in his word, now you got to know the word of God to know that he's in things. It says feed the poor. Now you know God's in that. The poor will be with you always. Now you know the Lord is in that. Forsake not the poor. Now you know the Lord is in that. And it says that God will bless you. Okay, now let's get our mind on church here. Okay, let's get our mind on church. Did you hear what I'm saying? Let's get our mind on Christ right now while we're sitting here. Let's not divide our eyeballs, our bodies, our hands, nothing. Let's just get ourselves together here and hear this word. See, we're down here for a reason. Are you hearing this? Yoo-hoo. Well, is he talking to me? I'm talking to everybody on the radio program, everybody in here, to myself. How do we really know when it's a work of the Lord? Are you hearing this? Come on, I got to have people's attention. There's no use of me up here preaching. Come on now, are you hearing this? Huh? Are you hearing it? Do you want to hear it? Huh? See, I'm at an age where I feel like I am mad at the devil. I'm not going to be wasting time anymore. I haven't got a lot of time to waste. How many are hearing this now? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's hear it. And you listening on the radio, let's hear the message. Do you really want to see God's work done? Is the work really of the Lord? Well, having done all, then you're going to have to stand. You ain't going to have a lot of money. You're not going to have a lot of friends. And in the end, it says there's a new church, the Jerusalem, coming down. And there's going to be a lot of shams out there. There's going to be a lot of hokey-pokey going on. There's going to be a lot of vacation places being built for Christians so they can go sit down some more. Are you hearing this? Well, come on down here, you're listening on the radio, and put in 7 years. See all the needs and all the hurts and all the things that are going on. Then build yourself a great big building someplace while the world is going to hell. Hey. Now go ahead and call me fanatical if you want to, but I really think it's time to get people's attention. Strap them to the seats if you have to. And say, hey, wake up. Wake up, Northside. There's more than girly watching or drinking or whatever that I did before I got saved. And let's start to do a work for the Lord. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with building a wall? And haven't we all been warned in the Scriptures? The Lord said to Peter and Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And Jesus also told of a terrible power which is seeking to destroy us. But the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. We do not sit and dream of security from trials. Man, who wants that anyway? Huh? Now, I'm not talking about talking big and getting up in somebody's face and say, don't you talk to me that way. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just not being afraid of trials. You know, how am I going to survive the next day? Don't be afraid of that. If you are to survive the next day, you'll survive. And if not, you'll drop dead. Does that settle it? That doesn't mean you go out and take chances. You go out and tempt somebody to shoot you. Throw rocks at you. Go ahead, throw your rocks. If I'm supposed to die, I'll die. Well, maybe you'll just get good and bruised for being so stupid. Or say, oh, temptation, I'm past that. Are you? Temptation says, no, you're not. But anyway, in the verse here and in the scripture, God had sent a leader who wholeheartedly said, let us build the wall. And he had very few people with him and a whole lot of contention. And even the banks were against him, and all the lenders were against him, and all the landlord holders were against him. But anyway, I see here that he gave the Jews very shrewd, sensible advice. He also gave them great spiritual advice, which came in handy in their hour of need. Practical advice. Are you hearing this? See, preaching, like I said Friday, is really in the practice. When people see you do something, they say, now that's preaching. But just preaching for preaching's sake, are you hearing this? Woo-hoo. Now, I'm not going to let anybody get swayed and not listen. Say amen, somebody. But he gave this beautiful advice to these people, and it was practical advice. Let's build the wall. Do you think they wanted to build the wall? They went over and they looked at this mess. Bricks laying here and laying there and smoked and charred, and they were a mess. Now, it's hard enough to get people to work. Are you hearing this? It's hard enough to get people to work when everything is right. Just ask some of these plants. They have a commissary. They have babysitting for them. They have AA groups for them. And they have all these. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to get people to work when the whole scene is set and everything is beautiful. Isn't it? When everything is set up for them. Now all you have to do is take this pile and put it over here. How many of them do I have to put over there? How much do they weigh? I can't lift over 18 pounds. Well, you weigh 418 pounds. Why worry about the 18 pounds? You know what I'm saying? And when are my break periods? The first thing they ask. When do we get break? You can break right now. Take a break and don't ever come back here. That's the way I am. And people are sort of like they're break dancing. They jerk, you know what I mean? Little movements. Huh? It's not smooth anymore. It hasn't got any glide to it. It's all jerky. And that's how they work. They break. The little breaks all the time. That says a whole lot to me. Or they really get foolish and spin on their head and break their neck. And anything to get out of work. And so here he is, and he has all these piles of brick and garbage to build out of. Now try to get some folks to work under those conditions. Well, he says, not only do you have to get these bricks and scrape and pound all the old cement off them and put them in place, but you have to pray and you have to watch because everybody hates your guts. Well, why? Never mind why. Just hold the sword like I told you, because it will come, fella. Oh, hey, we're doing a work for God. We're building a wall. Oh, is that right? Well, you better pray, and you better watch, and you better hold a sword, and a Bible in one hand, and a sword. And I can't hold all this. This is too much to do. It's too big a burden. Well, then get out. Get out. That's a word for the church, ain't it? I said it, and I'm glad. I said it a few months ago, and look. But I'll tell you something. Things are going a whole lot better. Finances are coming in a whole lot better.
Really?
Really? Why? Why have a whole bunch of dead logs sitting in a church that don't want to do anything but float downstream? Hey, preacher, do you hearing this? You're out there and you're paying $10,000 and $12,000 a year for a music ministry, somebody to play a guitar and sing. You guys are going to do it for nothing. You're going to go down a bread run. We're going to have you doing all this stuff on top of it. You're going to carry a guitar and a bread bag. Hallelujah. Now, isn't that nonsense? Well, are you attacking the church? No, I'm praying and watching. And so here he is, and he has all of this rubble to try to build out of. And that's the way we are down here. We don't have hardly anything to build with, but if I'll tell you, when you know God is in it, there's a work going on, and it gets built, and it gets done. But we're going to have to learn that we have to pray and we have to watch. Let us build a wall. Now here they had a very great leader, but hey, we have one greater than Nehemiah. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit to pre-call all of our plays. Now do this and this and this. Lord, what's the next play, Holy Spirit? Well, okay. And he tells you what number, how to hike the ball, how to carry the ball, who's going to catch the pass, who's going to throw it, who's going to help him catch it, who's going to help him throw it, and who's going to win the game. But it takes a little bit of teamwork, doesn't it? And then what will the Holy Spirit lead us to do? Well, watch and pray. We don't get up in the bleachers up there and yay and cheer when the touchdown comes, and then we go, oh, look, they fumbled the ball. I mean, oh, you're going to, in a play like down here, you're going to fumble the ball a whole lot of times. Huh? See, but it's only going to take that one pass. Well, they can have every demon to hell out there on their team, and you're short. You only got a little team, a whole bunch of little, 120-pound, weaklings, the sand kicker in the face type thing, the Atlas type comic book thing. You know what I mean? And that doesn't matter, see? Because at that right time, the Holy Spirit is going to say, all right, make a pass. And all these little runts like us will run out there and catch that ball and go in for a touchdown. And I say that because people are into football now, and then they'll listen. About the most exercise some of you guys get that watch football is reaching for the Frito-Lay potato chips. Don't fall out of your chair and break your arm. Well, that's no way to ask the radio audience for money. Should I take it back? I'm sorry, I got carried away. No, I didn't get carried away. I just want you to do something. So I'd sit there all Sunday afternoon, every night of the week. Now the wives are cheering. Yeah, they are. And so even though Jesus is doing and helping us in this job right down here, there is going to be enemies. And so it was with the Jews. Even the Jews conspired, it says, against them. Oh, they said, what are they trying to prove? Putting all those old burnt bricks together. Why, a fox, they said, could knock them down. And oh, how sarcastic they were. I call them witty garbage cans. And then it says, and now Tobiah was with him. Now he got another person with him. They run in twos. See, a skunk like Sanballat never lacks friends. I always wondered why people like to be around skunks. But skunks never lack for friends. Because you know why? Bad news runs in pairs, like wolf packs. They're led by a pair of wolves. But anyway, so no matter, in verse 5, Nehemiah prays in the prayer of a righteous indignation prayer, "Hear, O our Lord, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own land, and give them for prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Wow, you say, great. Give it to them! What a fine example to go by. No, I'm sorry, we're under a new and a better covenant. And our prayer is like this. Our prayer is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To which I read into this, but pray with your eyes open. Be not ignorant, and put the whole scripture together, be not ignorant of Satan's devices. And then it goes on in verse 6 and it says like this, "So we build a wall. Nevertheless, so we build a wall." And maybe you expected to read later on as you were reading this. So we just had to stop building the wall. And we had to answer this pair of wolves. No way. You do not have to answer wolves. Let them howl all they want to. Let them rip and tear at the meat all they want to. Throw them a few scraps. Keep them busy. But don't pay any attention to them. Keep on a keeping on and a keep on a scraping these bricks of God's work that you've been given to do. Knock away all that old plaster and put these bricks in place and have your sword right here and have it at your side. Huh? And watch while you pray. While you whistle, while you work, watch while you pray. Oh, we watch while we pray. Oh, we watch while we pray. We watch while you pray. Huh? Why? Because wolf packs are around. Now listen. They kept on keeping on, and they kept on building a wall, the Bible said, and they were paying no attention to these two scoffers. Aha! That wall will never stand. It's going to go down, Jocko. It's going to go down. It'll fall down, won't it? Huh, Tobiah? Yeah. And it says, "And all the wall was joined together unto half thereof." Now that it's halfway up. "For the people had a mind to work." Oh, let us learn something from this. To have a mind to work. Did you ever have somebody that doesn't have a mind to work? and they're thinking about everything, and they're daydreaming, and they don't have a mind for work. Where is their mind? Huh? Oh, maybe it's in Hawaii. Aloka haka nika ho elio ha. Where is their mind at? And they just sort of wander around in a spiritual zap. Huh? Oh, I can hardly wait till the next convention. It's really going to be... I can hardly wait till Big Guns comes into town. They have to wait for some special person to come into town so they can get motivated until they get out the door, and it's dead as a doornail after he leaves. But you never see any of them Big Guns come when it's 20 below. It's only when the fishing season is open up here. No, we got to have a mind to work, and if we can only build a half a wall roundabout and only build half as high as we intended, let us build as high as we can at least. Go for it, and go for it with a whole heart, and even though your plans aren't succeeded all the way, and you only have half a wall built all the way around, well, the other half will come. They go on with the work later, don't they? Oh, I had aspirations. I had dreams about what was going to happen. They're still there, but they're only half answered, it seems. So number one, our text, I see here two guards. And the first guard is prayer. We made our prayer unto our God. And the second guard then is watchfulness. We set a watch. And lastly, we should look at the two guards together. We prayed and set a watch. And so we have to, it says here, have both guards if we would defeat the enemy. Prayer and watchfulness. And so let's look here at the first guard, and he's standing over here with all of his armor on. And his working tools and working clothes. It's like he's got, over on this side, he's got half a helmet and the shield and the boots and the so on like that and the sword. And then you turn him around over on this side, and he has the coveralls on this side and a work boot and a half of a laborer's cap and a trowel. And so no matter which way you turn him, he's ready for action. You understand I say that because we're on radio. You know, you can say more through the radio than you can on TV. See, you're limited when you watch TV because what you watch on TV is exactly what you see is what you take in. But oh, the mind. Like I said Friday night, I said there is a large bomb, large, huge, round bomb in here. I mean, it's so big, we had to knock a wall out to roll this thing in here, and it's got a short fuse about like this. And then I lit a match. We're going to light this, and then in faith, everybody's going to say, this bomb, these were the faith group, this bomb will not go off. And so it started to and I said, hey, I just turned my back for a minute. Where did all you faith people go? Where did they go? They left. Nobody wanted to claim this bomb would not go off. And so you can get more across to the radio audience than you can by someone watching a pre-programmed thing, rehearsed, sitting on a silken davenport with all of the flowers and everything and sitting there, and talking to one another and giving little testimonies back and forth, and people are starving all over the place. Are you against interviews? Yeah, if they have no fruit to them. If they're just arguing about how they're being misused all the time. What a waste of time some of those programs are. I'd rather see something really being, I'd rather read a newsletter about Ethiopia and about how many millions were fed until they couldn't eat no more. And then just describe how it happened, how the people came up and they were so happy and they were eating and they were dancing and, you know. And that would put a bigger picture in my mind. But anyway, getting back to this, their prayer, and they prayed a prayer that meant business. Nevertheless, even though all these people left because they thought the bomb would go off, nevertheless, we made our prayer to God. Unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Well, why did you have to pray day and night? Because of them. Over there. And I thought, what a practical prayer. Some prayers are so full of scriptures, it's like people are giving you, or giving God a Bible lesson. Lord, you know what it says. You know what it says in Matthew, and you know what it says in Luke, and Lord, going back into Genesis and so on, and putting the scriptures together, Lord, of course you know what it says, but I'll rehearse it, huh? And I think many times our prayers are in the clouds, high and puffy and dreamy. Time they ask a brother to pray at a breakfast, and they had ham, and they had eggs, and they had pancakes, and they had, well, they had everything you could, everything a hog could want. And I wanted it all. And he started to pray. But before he started to pray, I thought, uh-oh, this is going to be a big one, because he filled his lungs up, and he was puffing up. Brother so-and-so, were you praying?
Yes, I'll pray. He started to pray.
When he got done, the eggs looked like they were plastic. And these pancakes were, what are they, these things they throw, what do they call them? Frisbees? Yeah, they look like frisbees. And I thought, when is this man going to just get to the prayer? We're praying for the poor, and we're praying, Lord, you know, and he just kept on and on and on. I mean, he went through a whole complete ministry, a Bible study. I am not lying. It was about a 13-and-a-half-minute prayer. A waitress got nervous because she was going off shift, and she wanted her tip. Tell you, there isn't a whole lot of tipping anyway. A lot of times we just leave our tracks and everything. We say, do you know Jesus? And that's beautiful, but I mean, see, people want to see something out of you. They were talking about all this faith and God will give to you and all of this and like that, and I watched, I thought, let's just see how much they're going to give here. And they would get in their stingy. And I used to be a waiter, you know, so they'd get in their pocket and they'd go through. Oh, there's a quarter. That's too much. I mean, you know, I hate to give 2 quarters, so quarter and a nickel wouldn't look right. So, oh, praise God, here's a quarter and a dime. And so we started to pray this puffed up prayer. At 6/10 of a cent per pound. We need that. Altogether, it will cost a penny a pound. God, help us to provide. I think we need to be more definite in our prayers.
There you have it. That was Pray and See Part 1. Be sure to listen to the conclusion Part 2 on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You got to move. You got to move. You got to move, child. You got to move. Oh, when the Lord